Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-cape-wearing, forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. Yes, back here once again. Another thrilling episode of Bob After Dark. How you doing, Bob?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's good to be back in the studio. Yeah. We haven't been doing the show from home the past couple weeks because it was doing some testing to see how the show would translate into Twitch form. Yeah, wow. And it worked out pretty well, but we can't be gone forever. Maybe we'll do that every other week or once a month. We'll do an at-home one where you guys can come and chat with me live again. But it was a good time. It's a good experiment, but I needed to be back in studio, so it's good to be here, Kyle.
Yeah, Bob, and since you last were here, new chairs.
I got new chairs.
Let
I got a new
pan the camera if you're watching on
Jet
TV.
I got a
here.
New wobbly desk.
Let's see. Is it a little wobbly? What's the paper?
We got to get some cardboard for underneath the desk here.
Look at those beautiful chairs, though.
They're nice chairs, man. I might steal one. It's a good color.
Well, you just admitted that on air now, Bob.
I'm not going to steal a chair. Jim's coming here right now, and they're going to come get me here in a second for even suggesting that.
What do you think those are? Walter E. Smith?
Probably his brother Craig L. Smith.
Craig L. Smith.
I don't think they're Walter E. Smith, but they're nice chairs.
Very nice chairs.
So we need to start filling them with guests.
Yeah. So how can people become a guest?
Reach out, Bob at BobAfterDark.com, or social medias. Speaking of guests,
it could be you.
You could be the next guest. Obviously, you have to right here next to me. That's a great, good job panning, man. Ooh, gonna give the people at home a headache. There you go. Now that's how you pan there.
This could be. Hold on. Let's do a slow move. This could be.
Man, who taught you how to do camera operations?
That could be you right there. Look at that.
That could be you.
There you go.
All right.
Pan out again.
Now I will explain to folks where I was last week, but first. Speaking of guests, we have one on air this week, and it's great because we were supposed to have a guest this week, but the one canceled, which is not a big deal.
Okay.
And by sheer accident, I found our guest this evening that's going to talk a little bit about a project that's coming up, a Lunatic Fringe proof of concept trailer, but I'm going to that's what the Kickstarter we're talking about is. Now, Count Panic, I'm going to let you do the honors and introduce our guest this evening.
Yeah, 3D animator, an extraordinaire, I'll add on top of that. Why not? We got Logan Webb joining us on the Zoom. Logan Webb, Bob.
Logan, thank you so much for coming on Bob After Dark.
Well, thank you very much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
no problem. Now, before we begin, as you guys may know, in the Bob After Dark world, I'm a big fan of animation. I like cartoons, adult animated cartoons. I have a fascination for some of the early stuff in the 90s. Beavis and Butthead or Duckman, the Critic, BoJack Horseman. Yeah, I'm a fan of anything animation, and there is a lack of animation in paranormal. There was a show that came out a few years ago that took place in Mexico, I believe, and it had a bunch of characters from Mexican folklore in it. Gravity Falls was out, and that had a paranormal spin, but there's not
like Scooby-Doo.
There's not like
Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yes, we got to interview Courage last time when we were at the con.
Marty, great guy.
But, you know, what we're getting at here is there's not enough paranormal, like straight paranormal animated things out there for both kids or adults. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, right, I'm on Facebook and Facebook target ads me a Kickstarter that's coming out soon. And I click on it because there's this really rad drawing of some of the cryptids. One's decked out in like a vest, and it looks really cool. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about it because I don't want our guests to talk about it. And a superstar in the world of animation, Logan has worked on the Sonic cartoon on Netflix, the newest one, and some of the Strawberry Shortcake specials. So that's really cool, guys. I want to point that out before we do anything. So from Sonic to Bob After Dark is kind of a big jump.
How about it?
I think that's really cool. So thank you so much for taking time out of your night there, Logan, to come on the show.
Oh, no, I'm happy to do it, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
So what can you tell us about what is a proof of concept trailer? Now, I know what that is because I went to film school, so to Count Panic.
But oh, yeah, for our film school.
But to our general audience, what is a proof of concept trailer?
Yeah, so the proof of concept really just means this is going to be a fully realized like movie trailer, like what you're used to seeing. It's going to be finished, like finished rendering, lighting, textures, all that good stuff. And it's a proof of concept because it's trying to show that we can do this. You know, I wrote this movie, and that's a feature length movie. And of course, you can't just get like, you know, millions of dollars to fund that for no reason. So we're kind of start off with a small project where we can show off the characters, the story, what they're doing, you know, what the story is, why we want to see the rest of the movie, and, you know, basically prove that this can be done, prove that there's interest in it. You know, that this is the kind of thing people actually want to see. You know, that's a little bit different than I think a lot of the stuff we're used to seeing in animation these days. And yeah, that's what that means.
What can you tell us about Lunatic Fringe?
Yeah. So Lunatic Fringe is, the title of this movie that I wrote. So I wrote about 110-page movie script,
which, by the way, is not easy work, folks. I've been there. It's a lot of work to do something like that.
Yeah, you know, I started working on that when I graduated college, animation school. I went out to Vancouver, Canada, which is where I got my first job, and I moved out there during COVID. And I am not from Canada. I'm from Virginia, and so I didn't know anybody, and I couldn't really go many places because of COVID. So I needed something to do. And so I was trying to come up with ideas for my own animation projects. And this idea popped into my head about Bigfoot. And I think especially at the time, you know, we were all kind of alone and isolated, and something about the idea of Bigfoot, who's, you know, if anybody's alone, it's Bigfoot. So something about that kind of stuck with me, and I just kept developing that and doing some character designs and writing out a log line, which is just like a, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like a one or two sentence synopsis of what the movie is, and just kept going, and eventually decided I had an idea for a movie that I thought could be a whole movie, not just a short film. And so I wrote that, and here we are.
So are you allowed to talk about some plot points, or are you allowed to tell us your log line for the project?
A little bit. Yeah, I can tell you the log line. So when an alien escapes from Area 51, the U.S. government pulls Bigfoot out of hiding and forces him to join together with a group of cryptid creatures in order to track down this alien before it's made public. And so it starts off as kind of a straightforward search and retrieve mission. And of course it kind of spirals out of control. There's twists and turns and things that add, you know, extra layers of drama and action and things like that on top of it. But it's really, I wanted to create a story that took all these different cryptids and local legends from kind of all over the United States and bring them together in a story where they all have personalities. You know, they're not just like bloodthirsty monsters who are killing things, you know, for some reason we don't know. They all have wants and fears, and, you know, there's reasons they're, you know, like humans or don't like humans. And yeah, so just trying to really go more than just surface level with these monsters that I feel like people have a lot of interest in the ideas of these monsters, but I feel like when you see them in like movies or documentaries, it's They're kind of just like mindless monsters who want to kill people or just run away for some reason, but we don't know anything about them. So I wanted to just explain who they are and why they are who they are, and throw some problems at them and see how they solve those problems and how they get along or don't get along with each other. And yeah, just create a real story, you know, that maybe we haven't seen before.
That's wonderful. On the cover art for Lunatic Fringe on the Kickstarter, like the Kickstarter to the Kickstarter, I guess you could say, we have an image of Mothman drinking a slushy, Bigfoot standing there, Jersey Devil. I'm assuming that's the Chupacabra to the right.
Yes,
and
that's
then
right.
A character holding and hugging the Fresno Nightcrawler with a Flatwoods Monster lamp, and it's an adorable image. I'm so looking forward to seeing the finalized trailer when it comes out. And there's a question that's going to be burning on all of my fans' minds is, do you have somebody to voice Mothman yet? And if not, would you like to hire me to do it?
Shameless. Very shameless, Bob.
You know, I don't have anyone right now for voice acting. There's just a couple people I've reached out to, which is kind of pending. But yeah, I have some ideas in mind of, like, you know, in my head of, like, if I could have anybody who would be these voices, like, you know, I would love if Ron Perlman would be Bigfoot. Oh. I seriously doubt he will be, but
I mean, think big, you know. Man.
Well, I think Bob might be a little, save you some money, maybe a little bit with Ron Perlman as well.
How dare you?
I'm not
panic.
Saying you're cheap,
I'm,
Bob.
I'm a D-list celebrity, thank you very much. And I'll take my, I used to be an F-list celebrity, but now I'm a D-list.
We're working our way up, Bob.
But no, my fan base like to think that I am the Mothman when I'm not the Mothman at all, but they like to think I am. So let me know if you need a voice for our mothy friend. I'm your guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey.
So where can people find your Kickstarter right now, and when do we expect it to launch fully?
Yeah, so on Kickstarter, if you just type in Lunatic Fringe up in the search bar up top, it should come right up. And it's going to go live on June 26th, so the day after tomorrow. And the reason it's going live that day is because I'm going to be at the West Virginia Bigfoot Festival, which is on the 26th through the 28th. So I'm going to be there. Like, I've got a table I'm going to have set up with, like, a poster and some artwork and all that kind of thing, and just kind of explain what this is and try to get some people excited about it. So yeah, just in 2 days or maybe like 1.5 days, whatever it is now. So it's coming up pretty quick.
The West Virginia Bigfoot Fest, Bob. Did you?
I'm not there.
You know,
I'm not there this weekend. No. But I know it's a big one.
Yeah.
And I have an inkling that your project's going to catch a lot of eyes, Logan, because it's. It's something unique. It's something different. And like I said, the market has nothing like it right now. You know, cryptids are, they're popular, but you don't see them in mainstream media. Maybe you'll see a Bigfoot occasionally, but not, you know, the Jersey Devil. That's pretty cool. So hats off and kudos to you. And I really hope that everything goes well. And obviously, fans, you guys are going to see the link in our show notes below. So you can go to the show notes below and check out the Kickstarter when it's launched. And hopefully we can get this more eyes on the prize for you, Logan.
Well, I would appreciate it. Yeah, anybody who's interested, check it out. And if anybody's listening and doesn't mind, I would really appreciate if you just share it with your friends and families and followers and all that kind of thing, so more people can see it. It's definitely hard to, you know, get the word out. I don't have, you know, tons of followers and things like that on social media. So that's kind of a challenge, but yeah, anyone who wants to talk about it and share it, I would really appreciate that.
Well, we're going to get you out into the paranormal world, at least the Bob After Dark fan base. And I'm going to share this around with some of my other, paranormal-y colleagues. Maybe we could get you on a couple more interviews too.
Yeah, for sure. That would be great. I'm happy to talk about it. I probably can talk about it more than anybody, at least this project. But yeah, that would be great.
Logan, where can people find more about you at, by the way, before we let you go?
Yeah, so if you want to look at some of my work and things like that, you can go to loganwebanimation.com, and that'll have like my reel and short film I did and information about the Kickstarter and all that stuff. And yeah, Logan Webb Animation, like on Instagram and things like that. It's all the same. Logan Webb Animation, should be able to find it pretty easy.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it. And thank you so much for taking the time out to come on today after I just emailed you. That was really cool.
About that.
That's usually I make Count Panic do all the corresponding, but today I just happened to be,
did it.
It popped up on my feed and I'm like, we're going to get this guy. That's who I want to interview, because I always like to interview people who are aspiring to do something with the paranormal and cryptozoology, but I also have a soft spot for animation. So I'm just really grateful for this. Thank you so much for coming on, Logan.
No, thank you. And I'm glad I saw it. I've been going crazy trying to get all this stuff ready for this festival. And I saw that email and I was like, yep, let's do it. Let's get it tonight before this thing kicks off. So I'm really, I'm appreciative of you guys for letting me come on and help get the word out to some people before this festival. That's going to be a big help, I think.
Absolutely. So good luck at the festival, Logan, and we'll be in touch to see what's going on soon. And hopefully when we get this launched, we'll get it shared on all the media and everything too. And let's wish you the best of luck from the entire fan base.
Okay. Thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, Logan.
All right. Count Panic, you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, let's do that right now, Bob.
All right, folks. So we'll be right back for our live audience. Stick around. And to our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
I'm folklorist and author Mark Muncy.
And I'm author Erica Lance.
And we host Eerie Travels.
It's a podcast where we discuss all things strange and unusual.
We discuss everything from Bigfoot to UFOs.
From Mothman to haunted locations.
From hidden history to legendary beasts.
From Cocaine Bear to the Jersey Devil.
From Holler Monsters to conspiracy theory.
We interview amazing guests that are actual investigators into the things that many believe to only be in the world of the imagination.
We also get into verbal debates about which monsters would win in a fight.
If any of this sounds interesting to you, then join us twice a week on your favorite podcast platform.
So look for Eerie Travels, and we'll see you on the other side.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count.
Hey there, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
During break, Bob, you wouldn't believe what I did there.
What'd you do?
I went to Bigfoot Fest.
You know, I also...
I was in the future. I went to Bigfoot Fest.
I went to a Bigfoot Fest in another dimension, actually.
Yeah.
I was at the East Virginia Bigfoot Festival.
A whole another dimension. State.
Yes. Yeah. And me and Ron Perlman of that dimension went Bigfoot hunting.
Now who became the voice actor then?
Ron Perlman.
Oh, you didn't get the gig, Bob.
It's okay. I want to play Mothman.
Well, you were in the running for Hellboy, right?
I was, actually.
Yeah. I remember that time, right?
Yeah, that's a true story.
It was you and him. And then
100% a true story.
Snuck out at the end and then took it away from you.
Well, anyway, Count, hello. Welcome back to Bob After Dark. Folks, so I just want to say thank you one more time to our lovely guest, Logan Webb, for coming on. It's such a cool moment to be able to talk to an animator. We have our friend Meg from Colorado and Sam Sawyer from L.A., who has also worked on paranormal animation and cryptid animation stuff. So I'm really pulling for him to get the movie off the ground. I think that'd be really amazing.
Yeah, and like we bring up the beginning, paranormal animation. I mean, I know the basics, Bob. Scooby-Doo, Courage, the Cowardly Dog. There's other spooky cartoons out there.
There is, but there's nothing about cryptids.
Nothing about cryptids.
No, I mean, there might be. I can't remember what the show was called about the Mexican folklore creature
show. It was
a
cartoon animated.
It was an animated one. I believe it was on Netflix, and I can't remember the name of it. It slipped off my radar when I should have been watching it. But I think we're overdue for a good lore-based thing, and it's really cool to think that cryptids have feelings and opinions.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool to personify them a little bit, because all we have is blurry photos and stories, but it's kind of unique to develop your own lore based off of it, and they're having a team of cryptids go and hunt down an alien. That's just, it's a cool story, and I'm really looking forward to hopefully seeing it get made.
It's a cool story, and Bob, if you want to chime into the show, 219-845-1100. If you're listening to this live on WGBJED TV, if it's in the podcast, Don't try calling. Nobody will answer. But if you're listening live, 219-845-1100. That was really cool, Bob. Again, you know, the skill it takes to animate something. I mean, you know, it's tough. It's tough to animate. And those things take so long. Those Pixar movies, Bob, sometimes take years and years and years to create. So it's pretty impressive on Logan's part to get it done. But I think we do have a phone call, Bob. You want to take it live?
Let's take it live.
Okay, let's let me pull up the phone lines here for a second. Hold on, everybody. All right, we're taking it live.
Caller, you're on the air.
Taking it live, Bob. Taking it live. Hey, I missed you last week.
Yeah, I missed you the week before, John.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's when I was getting my phone.
Yeah, he had a new phone.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, my daughter was here trying to, for a couple hours, you know, putting on all the apps and stuff like that. And I remember that. Yeah, that's what it is. And you left me about 9:45, and I got done about 9:50. That was the day you left about 9:45.
Yeah, well, doing the show from home, it's a little less disciplined, so I don't fit the full. Yeah, sometimes I do a good 48-minute episode or a 50-minute episode.
He gets sleepy. And,
I got to put a little blame on you. As a matter of fact, last week, I seen Bill about 6 o'clock, so I hope Bill is listening, because he says, Bob's going to be on tonight. This was last Tuesday, and I didn't.
We didn't know
if you were or not.
No,
I sure, and you weren't. So.
I was Vegas. I was in Vegas. I was in Vegas.
What happens there stays,
it stays there.
There.
And let me just say that I needed to recuperate.
Yeah, so I guess I.
What and we get moved around there. Sometimes yeah, for sports and whatnot. Sports you never know.
So I guess I can't ask you, because what stays there, what goes there, stays there, whatever.
I got to see BattleBots.
Did you have a good time, man? Anyway? Did you enjoy yourself?
I did. I got to see Weird Al Yankovic, which was an interesting experience.
Very cool.
But my highlight of my trip was seeing BattleBots.
The show. This was a TV show at one point.
It still is.
And they were these robots that fight each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a big, big, big BattleBots fan, and to get to see it live was really amazing. So that was cool.
Is that like them Rock'em Sock'em robots?
Very similar, but people build their own robots and they fight each other.
Like remote control.
With remote control, yeah. It's a wild concept, but it's so much fun.
Is that like a competition? A hobby?
It is, yeah. It's people from all over the world build these robots and travel to Vegas to compete with them. It was on Discovery Channel at one point, NBC at one point. It was on Comedy Central initially, so kind of cool.
There's a lot of stuff I don't know about Bob After Dark.
He likes BattleBots.
You know, like some of the stuff what you're into. But, yeah, that'd be interesting. So I guess when you knock the other robot's head off or whatever, you're the winner?
Yeah, essentially if you knock them out and they stop moving, that's what it is. Highly recommend anybody check it out that's a fan of the show.
Yeah, and this gentleman you had just had on the guest, was he the same one, the Bigfoot expert that you had on not too long ago?
No, this is a different guy. This one, he just, he's an animator. He works on cartoons, which is really cool.
So, a Bigfoot festival sounds pretty cool, too. I wonder what that would entail.
It's no different than any other kind of fest. They'll have a bunch of paranormal vendors there, and they'll have, you know, cryptozoologists, Bigfoot experts signing books, TV show people.
I assume Bigfoot himself is
Bigfoot himself will be there walking around.
I would think probably a lot of Bigfoots would be walking around, right?
Yeah, I'm sure quite a bit.
You know, like Pierogi Fest, we only got one Mr. Pierogi, but you probably got a lot of Bigfoots walking
Lots
around
big,
at a Bigfoot festival.
Big feet, yeah. A lot of them probably roaming about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob. But anyways, glad to hear you're back, and you know, and I'm glad you're back in the studio, and everything's going well with you. And hopefully, Bill is listening, and Bill will give you a call now. So
thanks, John. Appreciate you as always.
Yeah, we'll see you, Bob. Take care.
Take care, John. Have a good one. Now, Count Panic.
Yeah, Bob.
How you doing?
Good. How you feeling?
What are you crackling about?
I was just thinking about Dozy Bob on the Zoom.
Dozy. Last week I was. Last week, the week before, we finished out at like a 48-minute show, and I was just like...
Because you're probably in a comfortable environment.
I'm in a comfortable environment. I am not disappointed.
You're wearing pajamas, I'm sure.
It's not like here, where it's a little different, but I...
it's hard to fall asleep here.
I've fallen asleep here. Don't tempt me to
get
on my couch.
Not during a show, though.
No, I've come close a couple of times.
And for anybody, for fans of the couch, let me do another zoom here, Bob, if I could. I wonder if I could reach around.
That's...
Oh, no. Maybe I can't. Yeah, the couch is back there, folks. I guarantee
I'm
it.
Sure the fans are just enjoying your pan work. Your panning work. No, you know, I just got an email from filmmaker Alex Chernozlak right before the show, so I'm gonna let him know that there you're. I'm not on the screen there, pal.
Hold on,
Jet TV people are gonna be looking at.
Hold on, there we go.
Oh, there we go. Zoom there, back now zoom forth. Back in. Get it focused.
All right. This is a great shot. Right
there. That's a sad, depressing like vignette of the lonely talk show host.
The lonely talk show. That'd be a good name for a movie.
It's something like that. The lonely talk show host. Can you get me in focus,
there
please?
We go. You're not lonely, Bob.
No, I got you. Of course, you're just on the other side of the
I'm
glass.
I'm on the other side.
We
right
do
there.
Need to fill these seats with guests, though. That needs to happen.
Well, anybody's welcome. We take all people.
Yeah, if you're you have to have a reason to be on.
Paranormal people,
or a magician, or
magician.
We've had magicians.
We had
on
magicians.
Joe Diamond.
Joe Diamond. Yeah.
Joe's a mentalist, though. Don't forget.
Can't call him magician.
We've had Yeah, we've had other people.
Yeah,
on
we have
before.
A lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, if you got paranormal stuff, we want to know about it.
Yes, 100%. Now, how Bob After Dark usually works if we don't have a guest is we talk about our first bit of the show is where we talk about the weird, spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual, the strange and the curious that are hitting headlines, anything from cryptids, ghosts, lights in the sky getting featured in big articles or... you know, advances in science that borderline on science fiction. That's what we kind of look for here. And I have one article today because we have a guest, but you look like you're ready to cut me off.
Well, I was going
to
say, you know, with this format, this set here, we should do like a, you come out and tell some paranormal jokes.
If you know a paranormal comedian.
No. But like you as the host, you do a monologue, essentially. You tell some paranormal jokes. Then a band plays you to the desk.
Oh, sure.
And then we have, you introduce
a guest. Yeah, no problem. That's all in the budget, right?
I don't know. We should have a house band. This place needs a house band.
We should get like a Kenny G clarinet player.
We could. Who's the saxophonist from The Lost Boys that we like so much? There?
Oh, my gosh. Why?
He plays the outro.
Yes, oh, my God. That's going to... Oh, no. Vix is screaming at the TV right now. My word. That's the outro on the radio show.
Yeah, on the radio. But get that saxophonist in here and he can play...
Tim Capello.
Perfect.
Tim Capello, there you go.
We'll get him.
I can afford Tim Capello.
Yeah. What's he doing nowadays?
All right, so I just have one news article this week. And then we're going to do my new favorite segment where we call Jack about it.
He's expecting it probably. Listen,
it's a popular thing that we do now where we just randomly call Jack and ask him his opinion. We're going to get his opinion on this article, okay?
Okay.
This was shared to us from James Norman, and it's a scientist unveiled a revolutionary headset that can record and replay dreams.
Well, wait, time out here. If you want to... Is he supposed to be listening to this right now? Should I call him up and could he listen to this? Or because he want his point of view on this?
I was going to ask him how he feels about people being able to replay their dreams with goggles. I mean, you could.
I'll put him on. You know, I'll get him.
Okay,
on
no problem. Let's. You got your thing there.
I gotta find him now because he's in my text here. I gotta put his. All right, so let's see. We got his number. His number is.
Don't say it out loud. Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, do you want me to read the article now?
Well, we should see if he's there first.
I'm sure he's going to be there. It's 9:30 at night. Jack's got, you know, whatever going on a Tuesday.
Let's see. Is it ringing? It's not ringing, though. Let me drop it.
Do you know how to ring a phone?
Let me get to this. See, last week... Oh, you know what? Probably this is why. Go ahead and do the story. And
okay, I got you.
Yeah.
All right, so scientists unveiled a revolutionary headset that can record and replay dreams. Using a combination of AI and fMRI brain scans, the device intercepts brain activity during sleep to reconstruct the visual content of dreams. While the technology is still in its incredibly early stages, it marks a major step in neuroscience in the future of dream analysis. It is, so I'll give you a quick update on this, right? So this was first being developed by Japanese scientists last year. We covered it last October. And now I think they successfully were able to recreate like the first few moments of said dream. But it's still like way early in technology, but we're getting closer to it. And I'm curious, dreams to a lot of people are different things. Do you have Jack on the phone?
You know what? I apologize because somebody was calling me and I put him on hold. That might have been Bill that was calling me, so I'll put you on hold again. I didn't call Jack because we were going to take a phone call.
All right, let's take a phone call.
No, he hung up. So as soon as that phone lights up again, it might be Bill. It might have been somebody else. I will put them on the air there, Bob.
All right, well, let me give you my 2 cents on this.
Give me your 2 cents.
A lot of people believe that dreams aren't something a scientific effect, more as it is a spiritual thing. Dreams are kind of the, you know, could be a portal to another realm. It could be another, another way of existence. I don't think it's okay for us to be replaying those. It's kind of a spooky thing, you know what I'm saying?
It is a spooky thing, Bob. I don't know if we should be replaying those either, quite frankly. That's messing around with a little bit too much there, I think.
So, I would agree.
Yeah.
Do we have the caller back?
We don't have the caller back, Bob. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to call Jack again.
Okay, we're going to try to call Jack.
If that was Bill, please just call back a
Bill,
little
I'm
bit
sorry
here.
About that. Yeah, no. I just, but the calling
Let
the
me Jack, see if this works here, Bob.
It should work. Do you
yeah,
know
how? Well, let's see if this works. I don't know.
I don't know
sure.
why it's not working.
Let's see. Because Jack, we can only afford one phone call.
I don't know why I'm so amused by this segment. It's probably because I just like the idea of bothering this dude, and he's hilarious. Plus, he's intelligent. He knows what we're talking about. Do you have it working yet?
Yeah, it's not computing though.
Why is that not working, Calpank? I'm gonna tell Chuck.
We need Chuck to fix the
Chuck,
phone.
Chuck,
line.
Fix the phone. Chuck, if you're there, can you message Panic how to fix the phone line, please? Yeah. All right, so we'll skip the call to Jack part. But anywho, like I was saying, as far as this is concerned, the goggles are in its early stages. Now we're even talking about the Neuralink, which is the Elon Musk technology.
Yeah,
is going to be able to fix people's vision, and it's such an interesting advance in science now that it's such a weird blend of, you know. We're living almost in a cyberpunk reality where people could replay their dreams. So weird.
That is spooky, Bob. And the phone is ringing. I'm going to put the caller on right now, okay?
Okay.
Could be anybody, Bob.
I'm sure
we'll take
Bill.
It live.
Bill, is that you?
No, it's better.
Oh, how did you know?
Wait a second. Time out.
Yeah, time out.
Did you? Was that you trying to call before, or was that somebody else?
No, that was me. I heard you guys, and I was saying hello, hello, but you guys weren't answering.
I couldn't get it.
Now,
no.
See, now... Count Panic, now you got some. Now you're sweating there because you hung up on Jack.
I hung up on Jack.
I did. So did you know that we were going to call you again, or did you preemptively call us?
No, I called you twice because you called me twice, and both times I was saying hello, and
I didn't hear
you guys
anything.
Were like, "Oh, I hate Jack." So
why would I? Yeah, I'm just going to randomly call you live on the radio and be like, "You know what? I hate this."
Now
guy.
It's not random anymore. He knows hello? What's happening. Yeah, see, now he's saying hello to us.
Now he's saying hello to us. So how's it going, Jack?
Hello.
Oh, who is this?
Oh, no. Did we lose him again?
Jack?
No.
Oh, no, that sounded like some spooky business there.
Is Jack still there?
Hello?
All right, Jack called back again. There might be something seriously paranormal going on with the phone lines, Bob.
Might be Jack.
Is he being spooky?
Hey, Jack might be haunting himself.
I thought he was saying hello just for fun of it, but I guess he really meant hello, hello.
So, you know, occasionally I want to dedicate things to certain individuals when the situation arises, and I met a fan over the weekend.
You met a fan?
It's not my first time meeting him, but I've met him. It's been a long time, I will say.
Okay.
It's our fan Desmond yeah. from Detroit. Desmond's called in before, and they're a good dude. They're a good human being. They're a good fan. I have fan mail for you from them, and I totally forgot.
And you
to
don't
bring
give it.
It
to me.
I forgot it at home.
You read my fan mail.
It came in one
that's
box.
That's a invasion of privacy.
Well, no, it came in one box.
Okay.
It's not like he had two boxes. It was one box.
And you ripped it up.
I didn't rip up your mail.
Oh, okay.
I just forgot the box.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's on my stairs. I'll get it for you next week.
Well, thank you.
But, one thing I don't normally get a chance to talk about too much is this is one of my most wanted to investigate places. Mm-hmm. And because Desmond's from the Detroit area, just kind of said, you know what, this week we're going to talk about a Detroit place, and it just so happens it's one of the places that's on my list that I would love to investigate.
Yeah.
And that is the David Whitney House.
The David Whitney House.
Yes. So let me read you a little history about the David Whitney House and some of the hauntings that go along with it today.
All right.
The David Whitney House is a historic mansion located at 4421 Woodward Avenue in Midtown Detroit, Michigan. The building was constructed during the 1890s as a private residence. It was restored in 1986 and is now a restaurant. The building was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1972. The house was built between 1890 and 1894 by a prominent lumber baron, David Whitney Jr., who is considered not only one of Detroit's wealthiest personalities, but also one of Michigan's most wealthy citizens, period. The house is estimated to have cost $400,000 back then, which, you know, you incorporate that in today's money, $14,536,923.
Okay.
And it was featured in several newspapers at the time. The exterior is constructed using pink jasper from South Dakota and is measured to be 21,000 square feet and has 52 rooms, including 10 bathrooms, 218 windows, 20 fireplaces, a secret vault in the dining room, an elevator, and numerous Tiffany glass windows. The Tiffany glass windows have been estimated to be worth more than the house itself.
Well, how about that? That seems like it's
welcome to Bob After Agriculture, everybody, or architecture.
So you're saying there's houses that cost less than these windows.
There's houses that cost less than these windows themselves.
They bulletproof.
They're Tiffany glass. They ain't bulletproof.
In fact,
I'm sure those things.
Bulletproof glass.
I'm sure the Tiffany glass is probably insured more than like mine and yours life insurance policies
probably.
Combined.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway. The Tiffany glass would have been estimated more than the house itself. The windows designed often featured themes oriented with the purpose of the rooms that they're located in. For example, there's a music room where the windows are themed towards elements of music as well as images of Saint Cecilia, the patron saint of music. The grand staircase features a massive stained glass window portraying a knight paying homage to the various members of the Whitney family who were knighted, as well as their relationship to the royal bloodline in England. The house was the first resident in Detroit to have a functioning elevator for personal use.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, interesting stuff here. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about who this David Whitney Jr. guy was. He was born in 1830 in Watertown, Massachusetts, where Whitney has made millions in that state as a lumber baron. He moved to Detroit from Lowell, which was Massachusetts, and established himself as a lumber baron. In 1857, at a young age of 27, starting a joint venture with his brother Charles, he continued to expand his vastly successful lumber business in Ohio, Indiana, and Pennsylvania. Upon arriving to Detroit, he surrounded himself by the company's most wealthiest and most respectable families. Whitney soon earned the nickname of Mr. Woodward Avenue due to his keen interest in this real estate around the Detroit area. Whitney was also fascinated by the Detroit Athletic Club, the DAC. Ever since the DAC's establishment in 1887, it has been revered as one of the finest private clubs in the country and an elite organization deeply committed to upholding traditions and elegance of glorious pasts. The part of the DAC's grounds is now under possession by the Wayne State University. Included among elite members of the original DAC were Whitney and his son David C. Whitney. This influenced his choice for his location of the Whitney House, as it overlooked the grounds of the DAC. The Whitney Mansion was built between 1890 and 1894, and it was estimated approximately back then was $400,000. After Whitney's death in 1900, his family continued to reside in the mansion until 1920, where it sat and gone through different owners until it became an upscale restaurant in 1986. Today, many family members of the Whitney family reside in the Grosse Pointe area. In 1957, the Visiting Nurses Association purchased the home for $150,000. In 1979, the house was sold to Detroit-based real estate person Richard Kung, who sold it in 2007 to the former Chrysler executive Arthur Bud Label for more than $2 million. You okay over there?
Yeah, I think there's somebody at the door here. Let me see. I'll check.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You?
Yeah. What do you have to get up?
No, I'm tethered to the computer.
Well, you said somebody's at the door.
Yeah, I think it's open.
Okay. I guess we'll just get back to work here then. All right. So you ready to talk a little bit about some of the hauntings that go on there?
Yeah.
Dating back to the renovations of the mid-1980s, there have been rumored occurrences of supernatural activity on all three floors of the Whitney House. The causes of these events have been linked into a story of David Whitney Jr. and his wife both dying inside the mansion. To this day, some people believe that the ghost of David Whitney Jr. haunts the Whitney Mansion. One of the most haunted areas in the house appears to be the elevator. There are reports of the elevator moving on its own between the floors without any passengers. Other unexplained apparitions have been reported on the second and third floors. One evening at closing, a staff member witnessed an older gentleman gazing out on the second dining room floor window. When he was asked to leave, he simply just vanished into the floor. Reports by the mansion's staff members, sounds of utensils being stacked and tables being set moved on their own, have added to a mystery all of its own. I have some other ones, too, if you want to hear.
Sure.
So, there's also said to be hearing children are heard playing on the second floor. The staff has reported hearing children playing on the second floor and in the second floor bathroom at night after the doors have been locked. During an investigation, a child's voice was caught on an EVP saying, mimicking quiet on set. So it was
wow.
Like a kid
so
was picking on them a little bit.
Kind of.
Yeah. A ghostly woman is seen in the third floor ladies' room. One of the most frequently told stories is about a female patron having a drink at the ghost bar. She encountered a woman in the third floor bathroom whom she had a very lengthy conversation with, assuming she was an attendant. When she returned to the bar and relayed her experience to the bartender, he promptly informed her that there are no bathroom attendants employed at the Whitney. The woman was so upset that she demanded validation from a manager and an inspection of the rear review of the camera footage outside the ladies' room. There was no evidence of a woman, as described by the patron, ever enter or leave the bathroom. The female patron immediately left, visibly shaken and angry that the restaurant was trying to play a hoax on her.
I could see that.
So, Grace Whitney apparently still resides and sits at her table by the window in the carriage house. Mm-hmm. The building behind the Whitney in has been unoccupied for some time and is a part of the Paranormal Dining Tour, which is really exciting.
Paranormal Dining Tour?
Yes. Yeah, so,
what does that entail, I wonder?
I mean, it's interesting to know. This is my goal. I really want to investigate this place because it's absolutely stunning. It's a beautiful joint.
And you get a dining. You get dining options. Bob, paranormal dining options. Where else can you get that?
Absolutely. The carriage house has been is next to be renovated and put back in its former glory. The concern is whether Grace will allow it. The tables sit and are left in a position where she sat and sat. And stories are also saying that you can hear children singing part of from inside the carriage house, all near Grace's table. Hmm. This was featured on shows such as Ghost Hunters and our other show with a certain black frame glasses paranormal investigator that I didn't go to his museum.
You didn't
at all.
Go?
I didn't.
That's
go.
Right. You said you were gonna go. What happened? You chickened out?
No,
I don't want to say that.
Excuse me.
Spit take.
You're lucky I don't come out there and come over and crumb that glass and come
what
get
happened?
You. Me being scared? No, it's just timing.
Oh,
man.
Okay. You're very sure of yourself.
I was going to go. It just timing didn't pan out okay.
Oh, BattleBots.
BattleBots, on the other hand, happened, and it was a great time.
Yeah. That would have been fun. That would have, if you would have went, though, you should have documented that. Maybe you would meet him. Maybe he would be at his museum. Well, we don't know for sure. It'd be like when WCW crossed over to, or WWF went to WCW. That kind of like would be like what this was all about, Bob, but never mind. There's always other trips to Vegas.
Oh, I'm going to go back. Yeah, there's no question about it.
All right.
So that's the story of the David Whitney House. And apparently it's a haunted location with a lot of spooky activity going on there. We have a caller. A
lot of spooky activity. The phone line seems to be back kicked in. So let's see who it is, Bob.
Caller, you're on the air.
Well, hello. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Hey, Bill. How you doing? You caught us just as we were finishing up the story of the evening.
Well, I know. I understand. I'm glad I caught somebody live. Some guy named Jack hung up on me, so I don't know what
I don't know
what
was
going on there.
Jack, what? If Jack's still listening, Jack, there's still time to call. I don't know what happened. I think he lost connection, then I wasn't able to call out, so it was just all... I think the phone lines are haunted. Maybe John Anastopoulos or something like that.
I remember him. Oh, yeah. He would do something like that.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm glad I got you guys live, because after that, I didn't know... My ears are burning. I heard my name a couple times.
Yeah.
I figured, you know. So how are you guys doing? Okay, everything good?
Doing good, Bill. I appreciate that.
Bob's riding high from a trip to Vegas. So
yes.
What goes in Vegas? What stays in Vegas?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Saying right there. Yeah. So he isn't.
I mean, I've been there to the old, Vegas. So I know what that is. So
yeah.
But you mentioned the Bigfoot. Every time I think that, I know it's funny, but I think of Harry and the Hendersons. You know,
according to Cow Panic, that's a documentary.
That's based on a true story. There, that's a documentary.
I mean, that guy who plays the Bigfoot. I know he's smiling all that, and that's not the case with a lot of them.
Can they smile, Bob? I mean, they can smile. Right?
That's a question for Jack. If he'd ever answer the phone,
we lost. Well, Jack.
I know. As they said, he cut me off. I don't know what was going on. But listen, I'm enjoying the show. You guys take care, and you have a good rest of the show then.
Take care there, Bill.
All right. God bless you. Bye.
All right.
Have a good one.
There we go. So we got Bill there. But you know what? I never really noticed. I guess there's not enough documentation of a Bigfoot's smile, but I'm sure he could smile. Harry from Harry and Henderson smiled. And that was technically a Bigfoot.
So you might be wondering.
Yes, what are we wondering?
You might be wondering why the Whitney house might be a little on the haunted side. So according to WWJ News Radio, they have some written out stories of why this place might be haunted. Though initially the image was a forever home for Whitney's first wife, Flora, that fantasy never came to fruition, as she passed away in 1882 before the construction of the house ever began. 1 year later, Whitney married Flora's sister, Sarah, who became stepmother to the family's four children. It is said that Flora now haunts the Whitney mansion, particularly the woman's third floor restroom, and she could be observed sobbing out of devastation that she never got to live in her dream home, but her sister did.
Wow.
The Whitney family continued to be plagued by tragedy when Whitney himself died of a heart attack in the mansion in 1900, just 6 years later after the home's completion. Whitney's daughter Grace was in Europe at the time of her father's passing and was unable to say goodbye. Grace enjoyed having tea in the home's carriage house, which is located just next door, and a tea set was always set and waiting for various businesses per Whitney's instructions. The now dilapidated, rather creepy carriage house continues to hold tea set in Grace's honor, as I was saying before. Do we have another caller?
No, Bob, it's just you. Your ears are ringing.
My ears are ringing, something like that. Through the years, if anyone ever moved the set of tea, there would be an influx of paranormal activity, particularly china falling off the shelves and breaking in the mansion. So if you move the tea set in the carriage house, there might be china that falls.
Okay. I'll move it then.
When the tea set is returned, the activity stops, so there it stays, perched in front of a window overlooking Whitney's grounds. Whitney's second wife, Sarah, died in 1917, and the mansion was eventually transferred to the Wayne County Medical Center, where it was used as a tuberculosis ward for some time. And if you know anything about TB wards, they weren't a very good place. A lot of people just died, and it was a terrible disease. Some have reported encountering spirits having coughing fits throughout the mansion, when the theory is that they were possibly patients of the TB ward. Fast forward to the 1980s, the Whitney was reimagined into a high-end restaurant, where it was sold to entrepreneur. I was talking to you guys a little bit about that one earlier.
Yeah, you were.
So, what do you think, Count Panic? Do you think the hauntings of the Whitney Mansion are real, or do you think there's some malarkey going on there?
Nah, Bob, I'm going to go with real. No malarkey, Bob. Real. Don't move the fine china. Don't move the priceless. I mean, it's got Tiffany glass, for goodness sakes, and a moving elevator. First moving elevator of its kind in a house. Sure, we'll go with haunted. You don't think so? You think it's malarkey?
I think it's malarkey.
All malarkey. Ye little faith. Big skeptic.
I'm not thinking it's malarkey. I was just joking with you. I don't think it's malarkey. Yeah, I think there's an actual legitimate story to be told there. The first wife never got to live in the house, and what did the husband do? He decided to marry the sister.
As it goes.
As it is.
As the story goes.
Something like that, kind of panic. So that's the, I don't know, you have a lot of stories that go on there that, you know, that make it kind of worthwhile, and you think that might be some actual paranormal activity going on there, and I believe that there is definitely something to it.
I'd say so. It's worth a checkout, Bob.
Absolutely.
And what's the paranormal dining, whatever that means?
Yeah, there's like a place there called the Ghost Bar, and you could book the paranormal dining trip and like sit there and they'll tell you ghost stories while you eat.
I wonder what they give you. I wonder what that includes.
Probably very expensive food.
Chicken tenders, maybe. Steak and lobster?
Steak and lobster, my word.
Okay. Yeah. But cheese curds.
Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Count Panic. I just want to say thank you for having me back in the studio this week.
Yeah, back in the saddle, Bob. As they say, I think the Aerosmith said that. Back, look at my weird tan showing, too. Vampires are not supposed to tan, are they?
Jeez, Count, now you're just killing the illusion that you're a vampire.
Well, I am a vampire. But
I mean, you are a vampire.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, Count, do you have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Everybody, it's hot out there. I mean, geez, the past 4 days, Bob. I know this ain't your type of
show. Oh, no. Deal either. Nope, nope, nope.
In the 90s and whatnot.
Stick me in the AC. That's my life.
Stay cool. If you don't have AC, find a place with AC. Find some coolness, because I think it's going to be like this in the 90s for maybe a couple more days here or so before.
As we are.
We got to get back in the 80s at some point, right?
Well, anyway.
Feel good to be in the 80s.
Well, on behalf of me and Count Panic, folks, we just want to say goodnight to all of you, and to my mom, I just want to say sweet dreams to you and my dad, wherever you are in the universe. I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.